This stock and commodity report is made possible with support of the Friends of WILL and Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
From the land of Grand Teutoverse City in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 21st day of March 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois. And a bit later in the program, the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County will help us take a look at the cash grain market. We'll discuss the weather forecast, too, that with the guys up at Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. And along the way, we'll hear what Gary Schnitke had to say a couple of weeks ago the all-day agricultural outlook on how farmers can take $100 out of their crop budgets this year. And it all comes up right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, this is the way the numbers finished up for Monday afternoon. Futures were higher across the grains and the oil seeds. May contract in the corn pit at $3.69.5, up 2.5 cents. July at $3.74.25, up 2.5. And December corn at $3.87.75, 2.25 higher. Soybeans, May contract $9.02, up 4.5. July at $9.08.25, up 4. And the November beans at $9.13.5, 3.75 higher. January at $9.17.5, up 3.5 cents. Bean meal futures up $2.20 at $2.68.80 in the May contract, and May bean oil at $33.58, 16 cents higher for the day. Soft red winter wheat at $4.66.5, up 3.5 cents. July, the harvest month, at $4.73.5, 3.25 higher. Hard red July at $4.85.5, up 5.5 cents. And live cattle futures finished at $1.65 lower at $1.3817.5, and the June at $1.2772.5, we're down $1.37.5. Feeder cattle in the March contract at $162.25, 97.5 cents lower, and April futures at $157.70, down $4.50. That's the expanded limit for the feeder cattle. Lean hogs in the April down $2.20 at $69.25, and the May contract at $77.67, $2.10 lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Sure to visit our website at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. We post all of our agricultural programming there not long after it airs on our radio station, sometimes even before. That's the case for Commodity Week. We record it at Thursdays around 3 o'clock and post it to the website about 5 in the evening. This is Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For 100 years, offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Here's what some of the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil at $39.91 a barrel, up 47 cents. Ethanol futures are 4 cents lower to $1.38.5. And gasoline up 2 9/10 of a cent at $1.45 7/10 of a cent per gallon. Diesel fuel or heating oil at $1.23 7/10. That's just about unchanged. Natural gas at $1.81 9/10 is down 8 8/10 of a cent. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at this hour is currently trading the nearby contract. Well, not available. Oh, there it is. It's 17,539. That's up 47 points. The U.S. dollar at 95.3 is up 0.18. And the gold futures on the day are now trading at $1,244.40. They're down $9.90. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Mostly sunny. It's beautiful outside. A high of 53 degrees. West-southwest winds at 10 to 13. Gusting to 16 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. A low of 40 degrees. And a south wind at 8 to 17. And then tomorrow, sunny skies. A high of 66. It'll be breezy out there tomorrow. And a south-southwest wind at 18 to 24. Gusting to 34. For Tuesday night, mostly cloudy and a low of 49, south winds at 15 to 18, gusting to 24. And on Wednesday, cloudy skies, a high of 65. It'll be breezy. That'll bring us some showers by the time we get to Wednesday evening, a thunderstorm or two. It'll be mostly cloudy with a low of 47 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with the folks at Risk Pulse there in Chicago.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
It is the 21st day of March, 2016. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Pete Manhart is here from Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Kurt Kimmel is traveling today. Thanks, Pete, for being in for Kurt. Tell me about what you saw in the marketplace today and your expectations for the rest of the week.
We saw wheat dragging everything higher to start with on the teens and even single-digit weather in our wheat country. That helped drag corn a little higher. And then we had short covering take over, especially in the beans, and we saw everything higher at the end of the day. We made new highs on beans by a quarter cent to a half cent. That's Thursday had a new high, Friday a new high, and today a new high. And that was a 1.5 cent range from those 3 days of highs. So might see a little more of that, but we do expect the beans to be near highs for the moment until we get through next week.
Yeah, so when you'd say next week, we're looking forward to the end of the month, or March 31st. That's the acreage and grain stocks reports, or Thursday. They come out at 11 a.m. Central Time from the United States Department of Agriculture. Any expectations on your part, or maybe expectations from the trade?
Well, the trade is looking at all kinds of things. One was as high as having beans with a couple million more than USDA has, but I think we'll see mixed reaction from it because there is mixed expectations. A lot of people think there'll be more corn. A lot of people think there'll be more beans just due to the financials out there in the farmers' hands.
You mentioned that the soybeans you thought were on the high end of their trade. For old crop in particular, producers who have soybeans to market, do you think this is a place that they should pull the trigger?
I would be pulling the trigger. We're up nicely here in the last couple of weeks. 30 to 40 cents, and I would be pulling that trigger. If you want to stay long, go out and buy an August or a September call and stay in it that way at a certain amount instead of just open to the market.
Do you feel the same way for old crop corn?
Old crop corn, I feel a little more negative too, or I feel really positive for new crop corn, and I don't know why that is, but just old crop corn, lots of it available, lots of people hoarding it, lots of people waiting to drop it all at the same time on the market.
All right. Anything else in the marketplace you've been watching on the outside markets or other things that we ought to talk about before I let you go for the afternoon?
Well, the South American crop supposedly is huge and getting bigger, even with some bad weather here and there in the Southern Hemisphere.
Hey, thanks so much, Pete.
Have a great one.
You too. Pete Manhart is with Bates Commodities. He's out of Normal, Illinois. Joined us on the closing market report for this 21st day of March. You're listening to the closing market report from Illinois Public Media on a Monday afternoon. A couple of weeks ago, the all-day agricultural outlook was held at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. We had a do's and don'ts set of panels, and included in that was Gary Schnitke, agricultural economist at the U of I. I asked him to come up with a way to cut $100 out of your expenses this year, because that's what he's been telling you to do. Here's Gary Schnitke.
Let me just give you the perspective as I see it. And I'm going to start, and I'm going to give you a couple numbers for budget numbers for 200 bushel farmland corn. We're going to do 200 bushel farmland for corn. I could do it for higher or lower than that. Basically, lower the cash rent, and you're in the ballpark. So 200 bushel corn farmland in 2014 non-land cost. So the non-land cost, that's fertilizer, seed, chemicals, drying and storage, power cost, overhead cost, everything but the land was $600 an acre. All right. Average cash rent, 200 bushel land in 2014 was about $300. It was a little bit less, but I want to get a round number here. 600 plus 300 is 900. 200 bushel land at $5, that works, right? 200 bushel land at $450, it's a break-even proposition. 200 times 360 gives you $740 of revenue. So that's probably, if you were budgeting this year, what you're looking at, $740 of revenue. Plus, we're going to throw an ARC payment of $30 to $40. All right? $740 plus $30 is $770. $900 of revenue, cut $100 of cost. You're still losing money, but you're losing less, right? So, and so that's where the $100 of cost come from. And $100 of cost from that 2014 level still doesn't get you to profitability, but it stops quite a bit of the bleeding, right? You're still going to need, over the long run, corn prices over $4 to be profitable, even if you cut $100 of cost from that $600 level. My cowboy arithmetic here, I got $600 of non-line costs. Let's lower that to $550. All right, how do I lower $550 from $600 to $550? I have to get something done in the big four cost there, right? It's got to come from power cost, machinery, fertilizer, seed, or pesticides, because those four make up 80% of those non-line costs, so you can cut the rest and you still won't get there, right? Or it's unrealistic to think you're going to get there without cutting those four: fertilizer, seed, power, and pesticides. All right, as we're moving forward, the first thing that you've done already is cut machinery costs, and in particular capital purchases, to hopefully near zero. So over time, let me give you a benchmark here. For machinery or for capital purchases on a grain farm, I'm going to use a benchmark of $40 to $50 per acre. Where that $40 to $50 per tillable acre came from is the level from 2000 to 2005, before we had the price increase. So $40 to $50 an acre, and by the way, in the 2006 through 2009 period, we were over $120 of capital purchases per acre. There was nothing wrong with making those purchases back then, because we had the income to do it, and we built our farm because we built up our machinery, we built up our grain storage, we built up machinery sheds, we put tile on the ground, we had the funds, and we also wanted to use those capital purchases to reduce our income tax. We did that. Unfortunately, now we have very little machinery depreciation there, so you're likely still going to own taxes, but it was still not a bad idea then. So we got to cut machinery and capital purchases from over $100 to $40, which would be a cut of two-thirds. And that's what we're looking at. Over time, that will bring our machinery and depreciation costs down from roughly $60 to $30 to $40. So there's part of our cost cut. That's not fast, but that's one of the things that happens. Fertilizer. We will see some relief in fertilizer cost, because if the prices that I'm following would say that they're coming down. So I would be looking at right now, given where the prices are at, probably fertilizer cost still in the $130 to $140 an acre range without changing any quantities, but that's coming down. So last month, according to Illinois production cost report, anhydrous ammonia was averaging about $5.50 in the state, which was down considerably from previous year. So we'll see some reductions there. Seed, we haven't seen any price cost reductions or price reductions. And we'll have to look at there, either at lowering the technology or lowering the seeding rate or doing something. Pesticides, who knows until we see the seed problems, but it we're going to have to go to prevented or pest management identifiable problem rather than preventative treatment. All right, so there's $50 of costs there. Cash rents have to come down $50 an acre. And while what I have heard would say the cash rents did come down some, they're by no means $50 an acre. But again, coming back here, we started at a level of 600 and we cut $100 of cost. We are 600 for non-land, 300 for cash rent. We cut it from 900 to 800. We still don't have a lot of margin there. We have no margin there. That is just cutting a lot of the bleeding. As we go around, or as I go around and talk to people, at this point in time, we're looking at everybody that services the farmer and says, seed dealer says it has to come from cash rent. Cash rent says it has to come from fertilizer. Fertilizer says it has to come from somebody else. And I understand that and sympathetic to that, but just to give you a feel again, if we're at $3.70 corn, $4 corn, an average cash rent that makes sense at the levels that we're looking at right now, and we could get costs down to $5.50, over the long run, we would still be looking at cash rents in $2.25, which is still very much above where we're at currently. So we do have to make cuts. The one thing that we have going for us is that most farmers built very strong financial positions over the last years and have, in particular, working capital that they can use to weather these cash shortfalls. 2 points on that. One, you've been using it. We've had prices below $4 since 2014 crop. My guess is if you look at your average price you got for 2014, 2015, it's below $4. And my guess is right now you would be budgeting for less than $4 on the 2016 crop. That's 3 years. So we've seen this go on for 3 years. I personally believe our long-run prices are in the fours, maybe mid-fours. But this is probably like the 1990s. So we could be here a while. So we've been there 3 years. We could be there another three. Who knows? So that's where we're at. If those cost-cutting decisions aren't made soon and easily, they'll be made hard, and they will be driven by land or lender decisions and cutting off operating notes. And the people that would be most hit by that are individuals that rent a lot of their land, pretty high cash rents, and have used all of their working capital.
That's Gary Schnitke from our All Day Agricultural Outlook that took place a couple of weeks ago over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Let's check out the cash grain market now. Brian Stark is with us from the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Brian. Thanks for being with us.
Good afternoon, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the up move, especially in the beans, because it would be nice to say that was driven by the wheat market. However, beans outpaced wheat at the end of the day. So what happened there?
I think the funds, given some of the macro influences with the dollar being weak here in the last week to 10 days, although it was a little bit higher here this morning when I last looked at it. I think they're trying to target the 200-day moving average on the May contract at 905. They've made a couple of runs at it, made a run at it again, and seemed to settle back. So I think it's trying to decide whether we got enough power to trade through that here before we get to the acreage report at the end of the month.
You think we will?
That's a great question. Old technician I used to know when he was still in the game used to say double tops hold, triples fail. So you would think if we're going up and running up more than a couple of times, we have a good shot at trading through it. But haven't found enough buying power, I think, to overcome the selling that we're seeing from the producer as we've got above $9 on the board.
Just the fact that fundamentals really haven't changed yet.
That's right. The fundamentals haven't changed. I think the farmer has been rewarding the rally here prior to this acreage report to reduce some of his old crop length. And I imagine that until that subsides, it's going to act as an overhead resistance as well as the tech moving average.
You think that's the right thing to do to reward the rally?
I do. I think with the amount of carryout we're looking in beans and potentially planting 83 to 84 million again this year, I think beans obviously is kind of an albatross from a carryout standpoint. So I think rewarding them above 9 makes sense to me.
Albatross meaning you think more than 450 for the new crop on the carryout?
Yeah, I think that we have a very robust demand that the government came out with in the ag outlook forum. And depending on the currency relationships, that's what it goes back to. The dollar stays strong and they have a competitive advantage over us. I think the demand is too high and you could be talking 50 to 100 million higher than that going into the fall 17 crop.
Are you satisfied they should make new crop soybean sales then?
I think right now at least some sort of a minimum price type approach is kind of what we've been promoting. So buying a put, selling an out of the money call, creating a fence, allowing yourself some upside, I think is appropriate. But when November bean futures are above 9, guys probably should be putting a floor in place.
We have a different story in corn?
Different story in corn, I think, simply is it's a follower. There's a heavy amount of old corn out there. I think really it comes down to spring weather and the acreage intentions. Obviously, if the weather remains cold and wet in April and we get behind planting, we might have a little more friendliness in corn relative to the bean complex. But that's going to be driven, I think, more by weather than maybe necessarily beans.
What's the Andersons using for their corn acreage number?
Right now, we would say we're probably somewhere around 90.5 million acres. So we're slightly higher than the government. We're close, but even at trend yield, you're still looking at close to a 2 billion bushel carryout. So as I mentioned in our meeting here a week or so ago, we just have to work harder to make a little less right now given the current market environment.
And how do you do that?
I think taking advantage of rallies, knowing your inputs and locking in some sort of a profitable sale and looking at the revenue component as much as a producer can. We really recommended maxing out on your crop insurance. It's the last thing you want to cut, especially if the producer can't make the decision or wants to sell at these prices. At least put the max floor in place on a revenue basis, because really it's going to come down to revenue.
And finally, your bids for the day.
We are 372 cash corn. New crop corn is 363. Cash soybeans, 892. Fall beans, 888. And new crop July wheat, 449.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Todd.
Brian Stark, of course, is with the Andersons, joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. When we come back, should talk with Mark Russo. He is at Brisk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. You can always hear him again anytime you'd like at willag.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
It's National Granola Bar Day, and it's also International Hot and Spicy Food Day. It was John Harvey Kellogg who coined the word granola for a whole grain and nut mixture, but he never marketed the product. It was a rival, Charles Post, who once was a patient at Kellogg's Battle Creek Sanitarium, that would eventually market his own granola mix. He called it grape nuts. On this day in agricultural history in 1743, John Fitch was born. An American pioneer of steamboat transportation, he produced some of the nation's first serviceable steamboats. His first was an odd-looking machine. It was driven by a rack of American Indian canoe paddles, and the ship traveled at 6 to 8 miles an hour. In 1930, H.L. Collender died, an English physicist. He spent his life studying the thermodynamic properties of steam, but it was his son Guy who discovered the linkage between climate change and increases in carbon dioxide resulting from the burning of carbon fuels, part of the greenhouse effect. And in 1912, Conrad Bloch was born. He discovered that high levels of cholesterol in the bloodstream cause fatty deposits on the inner walls of arteries, which may lead to constricted blood flow and increase the chances of blood clotting and heart attack. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon, the 21st day of March, and we're joined by Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois, to take a look at the weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the weather forecast here in the Corn Belt to begin with.
Well, the main item of news is the turn to much cooler conditions here coming up later on this week. And we see temperatures trending cooler than normal with a modified Arctic air mass coming in behind a storm system that will produce precipitation primarily across the northern sections here of the Corn Belt, some scattered thunderstorms down to the south. In fact, some of the precip up north will be in the form of snow in areas of, well, eastern Nebraska, across Nebraska into far northern Iowa and into southern parts of Wisconsin, southern Michigan. And so, and here as the calendar has changed from winter to spring, there's certainly going to be a mixture of seasonal weather here, both from a winter and the spring standpoint. So, and those cooler than normal temperatures working their way in, it does look like that's going to continue into next week. There still will be some variability, but overall here in the Midwest, it is a bit of a, you know, cooler bias, which again is just noteworthy in the fact that it's been, you know, such unusually warm for such an extended period of time, and this is just something a little bit different here for a while.
Yeah, speaking of a little different, you called this a modified Arctic air mass. What does the modified part of it mean?
Modified being that its origin is in the Arctic or up towards, well, the North Pole. Some air masses originate over northwestern Canada. Other air masses can originate in places such as Siberia. As this air mass is tracking southward, it is going to be modified by the ground, meaning that you know, that's where snow cover or the lack of snow cover becomes very important. And so with a lack of snow cover in areas of like the northern plains, that is going to allow temperature, and with actually warmer soil temperatures across that area of late, that's going to help to actually warm up the air mass as it travels over those areas. So it's when you have more widespread, thicker snowpack that you can maintain the purity of Arctic air. That tends to be more of a feature in December, January, and February rather than March or early April. But overall, because of the warmer soil temperatures and the lack of snow, that's going to help to modify or warm up that air mass compared to what it could be.
Oh, I like that. Well, I like the modified version much better, I have to admit. A quick word about South America then, please.
Yeah, quiet across South America. Now, Argentina is trending drier than normal. That's not of any concern. In fact, in the short term, it's net beneficial as it allows for rapid harvest progress of summer crops. If it begins to persist throughout all of April and into May, it could become more of an issue for planting of winter wheat. But we got a long ways to go before that would be of any concern.
Hey, thanks, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with RiskPulse out of Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the closing market report from Illinois Public Media for this 21st day of March, coming up on the end of our time together. You can always visit us if you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. We post all of our agricultural programming there not long after it airs on our radio stations. I'm Todd.